Welcome back to the Jeff Force Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you so much for listening on this Friday morning. We do appreciate it. Still to come on the program in about an hour from now, April Marie Fogel of Alabama, today our usual Friday guest. Also, at 11 o'clock hour, I want to stick around for former HealthSouth CEO Richard Scrushy. And we'll wrap it up with our friend friend of the program, former state senator Rusty Glover. That's still to come, so make sure you stick around for that. But joining us now, very excited to introduce my next guest. He is our returning champion, hails from Daphne, the one and only state senator Chris Elliott. Senator Elliott, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Jeff. I'm doing great. Live from the Montgomery Airport this morning.
Montgomery Airport, what a fine facility that is. I've only flown in and out of there once or twice, but well, hopefully you're enjoying all the amenities it has to offer. Anyway, let's get into this. The prison discussion is still kind of, you know, it's percolating, and we're trying to determine whether or not something's going to happen, be it a special session or whatever. I assume you're plugged into these discussions. What are you hearing, and what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I was, you know, obviously here having those discussions yesterday and the day before, and trying hard to find a workable solution, a conservative solution that really protects public safety and also protects our budgets. And that's really the challenge. You know, I've heard some of my colleagues, I'm very frustrated to hear some of my colleagues say, oh, this is a mountain too high to climb. And man, that's just, you know, very undermining when we're trying to really work on and solve this problem. As you well know, and we've talked about before, if we don't fix this problem, the feds will likely fix it for us. And moreover, if we don't show that we are making progress and act like we are trying, then the feds will likely come in and take Alabama prison system over. And if that happens, it will devastate our budgets, and it will likely result in a mass release of folks that are currently incarcerated for good reason. We've seen that happen all over this country. And it is my job and the job of the legislature and the executive branch working together to avoid that. And that is what I am keenly interested in making sure we do right now.
Well, Senator, with all due respect, I mean, I watched the House chamber those last few weeks of session, and it didn't inspire a lot of confidence. I don't know that I necessarily would disagree with that. I would be at least be a little skeptical that the legislature could get something done just based on what we see. Now, look, I'm not really talking about your chamber there, but I really have some questions about the House chamber's ability to get something done on prisons.
Well, that's not unfair, and certainly something we are going to have to deal with. But it doesn't mean that I'm not going to try, and it doesn't mean that the Senate's not going to try. It doesn't mean that we don't have some very good House colleagues that are willing and able to try. They're just going to have to bring the balance of those House colleagues along, and that's something that will be really, frankly, probably our biggest challenge. But I was pleased in meetings yesterday to see the DOC commissioner really working with the legislature. You know, look, I haven't always been, you know, the easiest guy on this administration and then on the Department of Corrections. But a total sea change and a really a good attitude, working attitude, understanding the need to fix this problem in a way that works for the legislature, works for the people of Alabama, and keeps us safe and keeps us out of federal receivership.
Yeah, and there's just this notion, and I like you to speak on it. My colleague Dale Jackson at Yale Ever News, he just thinks that you guys in the legislature are you just want the federal government just to do it, and that will make it the more of a politically capable kind of thing that you won't have the hiccups that if you do act. Then you could just say, well, we're working at the behest of the federal government. This is the way it has to be, and this is what they have mandated, that there are just some people that don't want to have to take tough votes on this.
Well, I think Dale and I can probably agree that there are 140 different opinions in the legislature. That is for sure. And while some members may think that, may think that, hey, just let the feds take it over and blame it on them. And that is not my thinking at all, and that's not the thinking of the colleagues that I was with yesterday who are working hard to try to solve this problem. I understand why Dale would make those comments. I read his article as well. And, you know, again, he's talking about comments made by Representative Steve McMillan that you reported on that was on your show. And those are not helpful comments. Those are not helpful comments to the colleagues that are working to solve this problem. They're not helpful comments to the Department of Justice, who is listening, who is expecting for us to solve this problem. And I think are counterproductive and unfortunate. But listen, this is a challenge. This is a challenge we will continue to face. We just need to encourage the legislators that are trying to solve this problem, and encourage those that are sitting back to get on board, so that we can accomplish the goal and the very necessary goal of fixing our prison problem before the feds do it for us.
Does it look as a special session is in the works here on this, or what do you think is the what do you think that looks like?
I think that's still up in the air, frankly. In order to call a special session on this, there is going to have to be some reasonable certainty that a bill or a package of bills on prisons, both funding bills and others, are going to pass. And if I was the governor, that's something I'd want to make sure was ready to go. Frankly, legislative leadership is going to want to make sure we have some path forward before bringing everything back into a special session. But I do feel confident that we are working towards that goal, and I am, I'm going to continue to work. And listen, Jeff, even if I fail, even if my colleagues and I fail, then it's not for lack of trying. And I'm going to keep trying, whether we succeed or not. But I'm confident that we're headed in the right direction.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. I want to move on to the other thing, and you had proposed this a few weeks ago on this program. Let's do a trial run on a truck bridge and see how this goes. And it appears to me that ALDOT and others are taking you up on that idea, and they're closing the Wallace Tunnel to truck traffic and routing it up the Cochrane, Africatown Cochrane Bridge there. Just your thoughts on that. Did you know this was in the works, and do you think this will tell us anything?
Well, I did not know that it was in the works, and you're correct. That's something that I did propose and on your show. The goal there was, listen, if you've got a hypothesis that, for a solution that's going to cost $750 million, and you've got an opportunity to test that hypothesis prior to getting too far down the road on a $750 million solution, then by goodness, let's try it first. Now, do I think that trying it with not a whole lot of notice on a holiday weekend was the best way to proceed? Probably not. But I do still stand by the testing of the hypothesis before spending $750 million of $1 billion on a fix. And I think what we're liable to see is that this proposal is probably not the panacea that it's been sold as, and maybe we can get towards, finding a real solution, a real long-term solution that's actually going to fix the problem.
Well, it just seems to me, though, that, I guess a lot of this is coming out of, there's that pot of federal money there that could lapse, and the state, everybody's looking around saying, well, let's not let that lapse, let's figure out a solution, and this seems to be the, a way to use some of that $100 million of that infra grant.
Well, sure, and I think that $125 million infra grant that Mayor Stimson and others worked very hard with Senator Shelby to obtain is still valid, is still there, and is still there as we study different solutions and different options. Sometimes these types of ideas are and this process is about verifying zeros. You come up with an idea, okay, let's test it, see if it works, and if it doesn't, you move on to the next one. But I do not think that moving away from a truck toll only conversation, if that's what ALDOT decides to do, is going to void necessarily that infra grant. I think there's ongoing study and work that can be done in the meantime that will continue to utilize that infra grant as we move towards a workable solution.
It just we had talked to the mayor of Fairhope, Sherry Sullivan, and she's lukewarm on the idea. But it just seems like a Band-Aid kind of solution. And then if this were to proceed, and then who's to say in 10, 15, 20, 30 years that, with a truck bridge there that, we got to go back to the drawing board and figure something else out because we're still having the same congestion.
What's proposed is absolutely a Band-Aid solution, and it will require revisiting in 20 years if it takes that long. There's no question about it. The issue is that the amount of money being put forth by ALDOT right now does not allow anything more than a Band-Aid solution. And that's where the issue is. If we're going to truly fix this problem for the next, several decades, then we're going to have to ensure that the state puts up more funding for this project so that we can get a real solution. What we've seen so far is simply insufficient to do that. Now, absent any other state funding or federal funding, then the Band-Aid may be the best and the only solution we've got. And I'm in favor of doing something that will move the needle some, as opposed to doing nothing and hoping for billions coming out of the sky that will fix our problems forever. I think history's taught us that's simply not realistic. So while I appreciate the need for and will continue to advocate for and fight for full funding for this project, in the meantime, I'm in favor of doing something over nothing.
Well, and whatever the solution may be, do you still think it's going to involve some kind of toll?
That's a good question. I think that the main problem with the conversation about a toll was the messaging on it and the fact that it was as high as it was. And it has poisoned the well when it comes to the conversation about moving traffic across the bridge. I have talked to a number of constituents who have said, when the bridge is crowded, I'd be more than happy to pay $1, $2 to get across it and get home, or vice versa. And I understand that. What we've got to look at is really a study, if you will, of public opinion on that and whether or not they're going to use it. Right now, I think that the notion of a toll on commuter traffic, local traffic, is poisoned and will be for the foreseeable future. And that is due in no small part to the rollout that, that ALDOT and the administration did of that concept. And that's just something we're going to have to live with for a while and see if the attitude changes on it. But I would much rather see, and we'll advocate for, full funding of the project through federal and state means over a toll every day.
Well, do you think there's a way to repair that? This time has passed since the toll debacle. And, is there a way to win back public trust on some kind of toll, be it a small toll, not some astronomical $16 each way thing or whatever, but trying to get that and say, look, we came at this a little too hot. We message received, but we're still going to have to figure out some kind of a tolling system. Do you think the public would buy that?
They may, and there may be a way to get back to that conversation, but it's going to be with some pretty significant guardrails, and those are, not a public-private partnership. Those are not tolling existing infrastructure, and really, those types of things that led us down the path to, one, an outrageous, proposed toll, and two, an outcry, an understandable outcry from the citizens about tolling existing infrastructure they'd already paid for. I think if you wanted to give folks an option to take a faster tolled route, that's something that they may consider, but they need to have the choice as to whether or not they do that and not be forced to do it. So I think some time needs to pass, even more pass, and then on top of that, we need to make sure that we've got free options available, especially those that are already paid.
Well, and that's the, having a free option, and it just seemed a little too cute to say the free option, you were going to send people through downtown Mobile and through the Bankhead Tunnel. You might have consulted that plan to somebody in Hoover who wasn't familiar with the area, but it really didn't hold much water here in this part of the state. And I guess a lot of people are going to be kind of skeptical. Will they try to do? Will policymakers try to do something like that again?
Well, you're right about that. I mean, when I say when free options are discussed, I think by any local leaders in South Alabama, they are talking about existing routes. They are not talking about some other obscure route that is problematic for other reasons. I mean, this is existing route that we have right now. It's really about moving the through traffic, the interstate traffic. And by interstate, I don't mean just those folks that are on the interstate. I mean the folks that are going to Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, et cetera. And up to and including some of the truck traffic to get them off of the existing routes. And I think those are things that we need to have a public policy discussion about, and whether or not that is something that's palatable. But what was proposed before obviously was not palatable. I opposed that project and opposed that funding scheme, and think we need to make sure that we protect our local commuter traffic that has already paid for the infrastructure that was there, and ensure that it remains toll free.
Senator, we're going to leave it there. I know you're traveling today there at the airport, but I appreciate you making time for us, and have safe travels and have a happy 4th of July.
Always good to chat with you. Enjoy your weekend. Happy 4th.
Thank you. That's State Senator Chris Elliott on the line there. We got to get another break in here. We will return very shortly. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Every gambler knows that the secret